Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And good morning, everyone. Thank you and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral, and a word of welcome also to our friends and families who are following us through television, radio, and internet. It is good that we gather here each and every week to give thanks and praise to God. At this Mass, we ask the Lord to grant us the wisdom to choose Him and the strength to follow Him faithfully. As we prepare ourselves then to celebrate this Eucharist, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. May your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. I prayed, and prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted mire. Beyond health and comeliness, I loved her, and I chose to have her rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things come together came to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. The word of the Lord.
Yeah. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Turn back, O Lord, how long? Show pity to your servants. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. At dawn, fill us with your merciful love. We shall exalt and rejoice all our days. Give us joy for the days of our affliction, for the years when we looked upon evil. Fill us with your Let your deed be seen by your servants, and your glorious power by their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Give success to the work of our hands. Oh, give success to the work of our hands. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. The word of the Lord.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. The gospel passage this week so often is looked upon as a very difficult teaching to fulfill in one's life. We all know the story. It's about the rich man who approaches Jesus with what I think is a very sincere question about gaining eternal life. We also know Jesus' answer about selling everything and then to follow him, resulting in a very sad departing by the wealthy young man. Jesus then adds a statement on how hard it is for those who are wealthy to inherit eternal life. The disciples are like us in so many ways. And so sometimes I think we answer and think like them. And so we too, after hearing this gospel passage, might ask ourselves the same question: then who can be saved? Naturally, this question and this murmuring amongst the apostles and disciples came after that powerful teaching of Jesus: it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. But the bottom line, the crux, the main point or theme is, do not be possessed by possessions. And also, our possessions cannot give us eternal life. So let's begin by looking at the camel and the eye of the needle hyperbole. This phrase, I think, can be viewed in two major ways. The first According to some biblical scholars, the Greek word for camel, camelos, should actually be camelos. And that changes the reading slightly, because camelos means cable or rope, making the reading and understanding it's easier for a rope or a cable to go through the eye of a needle. This is plausible. It's a plausible meaning. But still, it's very difficult, as you could see, to do something like that. The other way to understand this phrase is to take it in the context of what is called the needle gate. Supposedly, the needle gate was a low and narrow gate, an after-hours entrance gate that surrounded the wall of Jerusalem. And it was purposely made small and narrow for security reasons. And a camel, naturally, would only be able to go through by stripping off its rider and then any sacks and saddles and actually crawling through on its knees. Now, you can just picture that in your mind's eye. Not an easy task. So this is also a plausible meaning. But either way, it's very difficult to pass through the eye of the needle. And as I said before, Jesus was using what we call hyperbole. Yeah, hyperbole is a figure of speech that exaggerates something for a special emphasis. And Jesus used this same technique other times, such as seeing the speck in someone else's eye while missing the plank in our own eye. But Jesus's meaning, Jesus's message, is very clear. Our possessions, our things cannot save us. And if we ever want to grow out of where we are right now, we have to let go of them, like the camel, in order to enter the gate of eternal life. During the time of our Lord, it was commonly thought and taught that wealth was proof of God's approval. And actually, some of the scribes and some of the rabbis at that time even taught that wealthy people were actually specially blessed by God and were therefore the most likely candidates to enter heaven. But we know that Jesus literally destroyed that concept, and along with it, the idea that one can buy salvation or one can buy eternal life. And so what does this all mean to us today in our world? What does this mean to us, those of us who live in this country? What does it mean to us who live in this society that we live in? We live in a very consumer world. We're constantly being bombarded with the best beverage, the best vehicle, the best bank, or even why it's part of becoming a real family if we watch or root for a sports team or watch a certain sports league. All of us, and believe me, I include myself, are part of a culture that tends to use people and to love things. Sometimes we're tempted to draw our identity from our possessions, equating our being, our worth, with our things, equating our worth with our titles, equating our worth with our fame. And everybody today wants to be famous. Everybody wants to have a video. But today's message is countercultural. It's countercultural, and if you know anything about Jesus, he was as countercultural as you could get. He was radical. And so his message was countercultural back then, and it's countercultural today. It's countercultural in several ways. Number one, and I think which is primary, we are being taught today by this gospel message to accept the primacy of God and his kingdom in our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that occupies the core of our heart? Is it our wealth? Is it our possessions? Is it our fame? Is it our title? Is it our wanting to be famous? See, today Jesus is radically challenging us to give God the primacy in our lives. He's challenging us to give God that primary place, the core of what's in our heart. And there's nothing wrong with having wealth or money, okay? Nothing at all. Money can buy a house, but not a home of loving family. Money can buy a book, but certainly not the gift of wisdom. The second thing is that we need to use things and love people. We live in a throwaway society. We open cans and we throw them away. We use ballpoint pens and facial tissues and we get rid of them. We throw them out. But sometimes we do the same thing with people. And just think about it. We use them and then we dump them. People become disposable. And then instead of using things, and I'm making a real generalization here, instead of using things, we love them. I love my car. I love my clothes. I love my house. We tend to use people. We say, they're important to me as long as they're useful. We abort unwanted pregnancies and have no time for elderly parents. And politicians even debate assisted suicides. And as you know, one state has actually allowed that. Jesus invites us to prioritize. Yes, use our things and be thankful for them and use them wisely, but love people. And lastly, we are being taught to be free and not be possessed by our possessions. So just think about it. If our identity is locked into our possessions or our position or in our title or house or whatever happens to be what we're focusing on, what happens to us if we lose these things? We can become lost in total despair. So what is the opposite? The opposite is our identity coming from the fact that we are created in God's image and that the kingdom is within each and every one of us. And so I ask you to think back about that gospel passage we just heard. Notice the man in today's gospel who came up and asked Jesus. He's unnamed. And this unnamed man was unable to respond to his heart's deepest desire because of his very shallow desire that he had for his things and possessions. And you know that man to this day, when we read this gospel passage, continues to be unnamed, without an identity. The other side of the coin are the disciples, Jesus' apostles, who left everything and followed Jesus. We know their names even today. 2,000 years later, their identity comes from their relationship with Jesus. So let us pray in this Eucharist that we accept the primacy of God and His kingdom in our lives so that we can use our things and use them wisely, but love people. And in this way, we will be free not to be possessed by our possessions. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us together profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us turn as God's children to our Father and present our prayers and needs to him with confidence.
That the church may evermore effectively lead the faithful to the treasures of heaven, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the clergy may continue to grow in wisdom and prudence and allow the Lord to enter their hearts, that they may follow his ways, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and return in penance to our covenant with God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we will have the grace to respond to the Lord's invitation to give ourselves generously to those who are poor and weak, especially the dying, the forgotten, and the unborn, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the people of our parish family who are burdened with illness and suffering may be aided by our prayers and comfort, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Marjorie Jane Mulvey, Sarita Kennedy East, Larry Lucerio, Dolores Solis King, Annette Tobia, and in thanksgiving to the Virgen de San Juan, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your countless blessings. Help us to find in your holy word the source of truth and wisdom. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. good. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church. Accept, O Lord, the prayers of your faithful with the sacrificial offerings, that through these acts of devotedness we may pass over to the glory of heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord, for by his birth he brought renewal to humanity's fallen state, and by his suffering cancel our sins. By his rising from the dead, he has opened the way to eternal life. And by ascending to you, O Father, he has unlocked the gates of heaven. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence will rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, number 910, Take and Eat.
Spoken light was made. I am the seed that died to be reborn. I am the bread that comes from heaven above. I am the vine that filled your cup with joy. Take and eat. I am the way that leads the exile home. I am the truth that sets a captive free. I am the life that raises up the dead. I am your peace, true peace, my gift to you. I am the Lamb that takes away your sin. I am the gate that guards you night and day. You are my flock, you know the shepherd's voice. You are my own, your ransom is my blood.
the cornerstone that God has laid, a chosen stone and precious in His eyes. You are God's dwelling place, on me you rest, like living stones, a temple for God's praise. That came into the world. I am the light that darkness cannot hide. I am the morning star that never sets. Lift up your face, in you my light will shine.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fong, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.